this part, this year we're going to do on Keturah. Perchav Hei Pazigal by Yosef Avram Yikat Isho Shma Keturah. Avram then went and he married a woman. Her name was Keturah. Now, again, this is one of those things that you tell over to people and they're just like, no, that's not true. It just didn't happen. You say that Avram, you know, married a woman at the end of his life and had six other kids. The first thing they say to you is, that's crazy. I've never heard that before. How come I didn't grow up that way? When I was in kindergarten, I didn't learn about Avram's six kids. The truth is, you did. You just completely forgot. Nobody ever thinks about Keturah. Nobody ever thinks about the other six kids of Avram. And in fact, it's one of the most special Torah bowl questions that you could possibly ask. How many kids did Avram Avinu have? And a person calls off and they're like, one and two. And then obviously the answer is technically eight, maybe nine if you include Bithya, if you include that daughter. Right? You have eight kids all together and it's so strange. So I'm not going to go into the whole idea of why he had six kids in the first place. Why? What was the point of the six kids? That's something that I gave on 3 years ago. That's another issue altogether. What I do want to show is that, number one, you should be doing Shnai Mikra a little bit more often. That's number one. That's probably the most important point. And then I want to say there's a Bereishis Rabba. The Bereishis Rabba says the Medrash uses these psukim that show you that even toward the end of your life you should always remarry and have more children. That a person should always remarry and have more children. Now, obviously, not all of us are going to be able to have children at the age of 140. I don't think that's going to be shy by most of us. But nonetheless, even Avraham Avinu was willing to do it. The wording in the Pasuk in Mishlei is Baboker Zara Zarech. Zarecha. Zareich, I think it is. You should plant your seeds in the morning, and even in the evening, even when it gets later, don't stop. Keep going, the only way. And this is really the halacha. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishes, Tartezvav, says that every child a person has is like building a brand new world. So it's worth it to be able to have children, even if it's toward the end of your life and you've already had a lot of kids. That's the idea. The Maaseh Luach says that a person starts thinking to himself, what am I adding on to? Why do I want to do this? Forget about kids. Just stop. Why am I doing more? I mean, if I'm going to Gan Eden anyway, right? I'm one of the only few Jews in the world that are doing all the mitzvahs, one of the few people in the world that knows that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Iker. So if I'm going to Gan Eden anyway, what's the big deal, right? This Parsha is telling you, do more, you'll get a bigger palace, you'll get a bigger chelik in Olam Haba, you keep doing more, everything you do adds kedusha to yourself, makes you into a better and stronger person. What's up?
On top of that, you're not looked at versus everybody else's steward, you're looked at versus yourself.
That's true. That's the obvious point. But let's say that a person is assured, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So why should I add on more? Why should I do something a little bit extra? In that sense, we say you should make yourself even better, become even greater, and that's the lesson that we're learning from Avraham Avinu. There's a couple other lessons. The famous lesson of that you shouldn't marry someone until you take care of your children. First, Avraham waited until Yitzchak was married before he got married himself. Right? That's another lesson to be learned, and something else that has to be discussed, but that's not for tonight. Here we go. Rashi says the Keturah was Hagar. The Keturah is the same woman as Hagar. The Rabbeinu Ephraim brings a gematria. He says Isha Ushma Keturah. The woman that he married, Ushma Keturah, is the gematria of as Zuhi Hagar Mitzris. That is Hagar the Mitzris. That's that. Both are 977 exactly. That's the gematria that he shows to explain to you what Rashi is saying. The Midrashim are all over this. They all say the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Lamed says he remarried the woman that he divorced. The Midrash Gabbah, and that's why he used the word vayikach, that he took her back. He grabbed her back after she was divorced. That's the idea behind it. And the Kli Yakar says that it even can be proved from the word vayosef. What does that mean, vayosef Avram? I didn't know how to translate it, and Avram went on is how I translated. Our scrolls all over the place. And he again is really the word that it should be used. But that makes no sense. What do you mean, and he again? We were just talking about Yitzchak getting married. So vayosef Avram, and Avram again? Like, it doesn't work. If it would be, he married Sarah, and then he added on and married Keturah. That's one thing. But we're talking about Yitzchak, you know, what's by Yosef? So says the Kli Yakar, by Yosef means he again took her a second time. Meaning this was Hagar from before, and he again went back to her and married her a second time. The Gur Aryeh says if it was somebody else, the Pasuk would have to explain where he got her from. We don't know anything about this woman. We don't know where Keturah came from. We don't know anything. By Keturah, by Hagar, we know she was the maidservant of Sarah. By Sarah, it says who her parents were. Rivka, we know who the parents are from that. That we know from each person, on and on, we know who the women are and where they come from. But Keturah, we know nothing. It just says Avram went and took a woman and her name was Keturah. So the Gur Aryeh is saying, it must be that this woman is someone that we know. He already warned his children not to marry Canaan. We know that they're not supposed to marry Canaan. So where was she from? Why doesn't the Pasuk indicate it to us? It must be that we know her. Who else is it? It's got to be Hagar. It's got to be
Hagar. Hagar has six more children. She must be
older.
Youngest closest better.
Let's assume, I'm going to make the assumption here, let's assume that she was 12 years old when she had Yishmael. Okay, now that was when Avram Avinu was altogether, when that was 87 technically, right? 86, 87 years old, right? So we're dealing with that. Let's say she was 12 then. He's now 140, right? So that's 60 years older, which means she would be now 72, which would be very difficult to understand that she's still able to have children. That's right around, I mean, we were going crazy about Sari Menu having a kid at the age of 90,
but that, you know,
right? Exactly. But by this, it would be very difficult to say. You know, you are right. I don't have an answer to that question. But nonetheless, it does happen, and it does happen here. Maybe, I'm just going to give the answer that they give by Yocheved. We all know that Yocheved was supposed to be very old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, 130. So everybody asks, if she was 130 when she gave birth, why wouldn't the Torah mention that? It mentions about Sarah, why not mention about Yocheved? And the Ramban answers in two other places, but not there, says the Torah does not mention miracles that are not prophesied about beforehand. If the miracle was not told about beforehand, where it said, by Sarah, I mean, it was a malach saying, you're going to have a child. That we're going to mention, that it was a miracle, but if it doesn't mention it beforehand, then the miracle is not mentioned. So that answer of the Ramban can apply over here as well by Keturah, if Keturah is the same person as Hagar. But nonetheless, that's how the Kliyakar and Gurari learn it from the Pasuk, and we see the Midrashim hold this way, and Rashi clearly holds this way. Now, why is she called Keturah? Why would she change her name? Why not just say Hagar again? Just say the name Hagar. What does the name Keturah mean? Where did that come from? So Rashi says two answers. Number one, her deeds were pleasant to everyone, and it was like the smell of the Ketores. Just like the Ketores was a beautiful smell, and people loved to smell and they loved to have it, Keturah was a special person who everybody wanted to be by. Everybody loved her in such a way, they all wanted to be by her. That's the first answer that Rashi gives, that Keturah is based on the word Ketores. The second answer is that Keturah is really an Aramaic word. Anybody know what Kotar means in Aramaic?
Country.
You don't know it? Qatar, okay, with a Q. No, but in Aramaic, does anybody know what it means? Come on, you all do Gemara. So Qatar is to tie. It's kashar. The same thing as kashar. So Keturah meant that she tied herself up, so to speak, would not allow any man to be anywhere near her, would not allow anybody to come near her from the time she left Avraham Avinu until this point. She tied herself up and said, no, I'm not going near anyone. No one's coming near me. She allowed herself to be that way. So that's two pshatim in Rashi. That she was known as the Keturah, right? So sweet and pleasant and everything, and that she tied herself up and kept her way. Ellie, what's up? Good question. Hold on, give me a second. We're going to see that question in three different ways. It's a good question. Targum Yonatan says the same thing. He says this was Hagar. She's called Keturah because she was tied to him before with a Kedushin. Because she was married to him before with a Kedushin, she's called Keturah. I was once connected. I was once tied to Avraham Avinu. That's where the name came from. That's what it is. And although he had divorced her with a get, nonetheless, they were connected. She had done that. What's up, Yudah?
Consider Hagar a Pelegish?
That's a good question as well. Hold up on that question as well. The Pelegish is a good question as well. Number four, the Medrash Rabbah says she surrounded herself with mitzvot. It's so to speak, she connected herself with everything around, said she allowed herself to be such a special woman. I guess it's sort of like a combination. She was a good woman in the Ketores, and she tied the mitzvot to herself. So really, it connects both them together the way the Medrash Rabbah says it. And the Chemdes HaYomim says a very strange line. He says, Hagar gave a ton of tzedakah. I have no idea where he got that from. No idea. But she gave a ton of tzedakah, and tzedakah saves people from death. Well, the Ketores also saves people from death. Just like tzedakah is tatzo mimavis, so too the Ketores also saves people from death and doesn't allow people to die. Therefore, they named her Keturah because she was involved in tzedakah and chesed and all those types of things. We got five reasons why she's called Keturah. The Maskil Adava points out that both pshatim of Rashi are a little bit hard. Let's go like this. If she was named after the Ketores, then she should be Ketora, or at least Ketores. Not Keturah. That's the wrong name. Ketur is not the same thing as Ketor in Hebrew. They're not the same thing. So the way he says it is, it should be that way. What's up?
Well, grammatically, it's Keturah is Hufal, whereas Ketorah, I forgot the thing, but it means that she herself is somebody who was...
Somebody who did that.
No, Keturah is the essence, she is the essence of... Keturah.
It's an interesting call. I didn't know. See, this is why we have to know Dikduk, because somebody is going to make a fool out of you someday, and you're going to have absolutely no idea what to say. Like, no, there's a Rashi that's against you. I have no idea. That's very possible. That Keturah is like that. I'm just quoting the Maskil with David. I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea. He says that it should be the word Keturah, and at least it should be at least Keturahs. Why name her Keturah, right, when it should be Keturahs, or maybe Keturahs?
The noun
thereof. Yeah, so that's his first question. And the second thing is, if it's really after Aramaic, why are we naming her an Aramaic name? She was Egyptian. She was from, Hagar originally came from Paro. It was Paro's daughter who, Paro said to her, I'd rather you be a slave in Avram Avinu's house than a princess in my land. And she was a princess from Mitzrayim. I'm sure she loved it. I mean, yeah, that's the way I treat my daughter also. But either way, this is an Egyptian girl. This is not an Aramaic girl. Why in the world would it have been an Aramaic name? So maybe the Machlokas is based on the Telech Batesan. That's what you were referring before, Ellie. That earlier, in last week's Parsha, when she was thrown out of the house by Saraminu, it says, Batelech Batesa. She went and she went off. Batelech, she went Batesa. Now there's two ways of translating that word. One way of translating Batesa is she got lost. She was lost in the Midbar, she had no idea where to go. The other Shapian Batesa is that she was lost. She took herself off the Derech and wanted to go after Avodah Zarah. That she went after Avodah Zarah. Says the Maskil of David, it goes like this. If we say, the idea is, if she simply got lost, right, then we say that she was still a tzaddikus. She remained a tzaddikus whose deeds were worthy of Avram returning to her. She was a ketoreth. She did good things. She was a perfect person in that way. But if we say that she went off the derech, she went after the idols of her father's house, she became confused in the head, then the only reason why Avram took her back is because she didn't do a riot. Although she had done a vodizara, but she was gutter. Gather may arise, and she stayed away from bad things and stayed away from other men. So that's the way of understanding it. Either she was fine and therefore she's like the Ketoreth and she was just lost in the desert, or she was really lost, had no idea where to go, and thus the best thing that he had was Keturah. At least she had stayed abstinent from everybody else while Avram Avinu wasn't there. Now, and that takes work, because the Kli Yakar says that whole thing about Telech Batesa is very, very strange. If she did go off the Derech, which is the line that Rashi used up above, then why would Avram Avinu have taken her back, and why would we call her Ketoreth now because of something good? And the Maskil of David is a good answer. It only goes by the second answer, but on Pashup Shot, Rashi's saying that she was a good person even though she went off. So what happened? So the obvious answer is, says the Kli Yakar, is that she did Shuvah. What happened was, when she was thrown out, granted, she felt bad, she did a Avodah Zarah, and she was like that. But at some point, her and Yishmael ended up doing tshuva. And that ended up going, there was some type of tshuva that went there, and there was something that happened that allowed it to go together. Anybody know anything special about the Ketoreth? Something strange about the Ketoreth that everybody points out. There are 11 spices in the Ketoreth. What else do you know? What's up? Leave it out, you know. But give me about the spices specifically. The what? Shaptam Aleph Amav is the good call. We said that's the idea before, but I think you just said it. Michael, what did you just say?
Chalbana.
The Chalbana was a terrible smell. A horrible smell. And yet, together with the Ketoreth, it smelled terrific. If you put it together with all the other spices, the 10 other spices, and you put it in the Ketoreth, all of a sudden it started smelling unbelievably well. The line is that even though she started to smell, even though she was off and she did terrible things and she went off and did it for Zara, nonetheless, she got involved with all the spices. She got back with Avram, you know, she became a tremendous tzaddikus. She did tshuva and brought herself back. Even the chalbana, even the bad, you take back and you make it good. That's the idea behind it. So what's up?
So that shows that
Correct. It's still with you, but it becomes almost like it becomes a mitzvah. You don't even smell it anymore. It's not there. The Chizkuni says the same way. The Be'er Basada says the same way. The Zohar says the same way. They all say that the fact is she did tshuva after that it all happened. She did a kapara. She ended up being able to take over. And by the way, we know that there's a concept of Shinoi Hashem. You've heard of that before, right? Change your name, and it's as if you start over again. Shinoi Hashem changes your whole essence, so to speak. Says the way the Be'er Basada says it, It comes from here. This is where it stems from. From Hagar becoming Keturah teaches us that if you change the name, it's as if you're not the same person you were before. Hagar sinned. Keturah did not. Keturah never sinned. That a person has the ability to have Shinui Hashem and change everything completely, that's the idea behind it. Hopefully Tshuva works without the Shinui Hashem. You shouldn't need the Shinui Hashem for that to happen. You should go ahead and do Tshuva in and of itself, and the Shinui Hashem should not have to happen. It would be great if you kept adding a name every Yom Kippur, and you just keep going. You'd just be like, the Tzvi Hirsch Chaim Rifol, Tzvi Yitzchak. I should name myself Tzvi again. Such a beautiful name. By the way, the idea behind that is that the Gur Aryeh.
Maybe it's the point of that's what the person's being called, meaning that's not their name.
Correct. It's based on what it ends up being. The Gur Aryeh and the Razid Amir. The Razid Amir is a sefer written on the Tanakh Raza, a tremendous sefer. They both say that it was what happened to Yishmael that caused her to do tshuva. When she first left Avram Yitzchak's house, she was angry. I got kicked out of Avram's house for a second time. Hagar was kicked out a first time and she miscarried. Now she's kicked out a second time with her son. Her son's sick. She's like, forget about this. I can't stand Avram Yitzchak. I can't stand Sari Menu. I can't stand God. And she was so angry. Understand that idea. It's nonetheless, she was saying, like, I'm done with this. I'm absolutely done. I'm going to Avodah Zarah. And after the Malach appeared to her and saved Yishmael, then she did tshuva. She never actually worshipped idols. She was willing to. She was done with whatever religion Avraham Avinu was starting. And she said, I'm going back to Mitzrayim and doing whatever it is. On the way, Yishmael got sick. After he got saved, immediately Hagar said, I'm doing tshuva. That's the shot behind it. And that's that. And the Razid Amir says it's obvious. Because how could a Malach come to her and help save her if she was already worshipping idols? It must be that she wanted to, and the Razid Amir said, but she didn't. She never ended up doing it.
I assumed that she was worshipping idols. I mean, she was angry and she was upset. She was leaving.
Batesa. The word in Batesa is based on Exerah Shabbat. The other word Batesa is by Avodah Zarah. That's where they learn it from. Yeah, that's where they learn it from. It's not a Gemara, it's a Medrash. But that's where they learn it from. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says it might be that that Avraham Avinu could not marry Hagar until this time because he had looked at it and said, Sari Menu's Nebuah still applies. Remember, Sari Menu had a Nebuah to get rid of Hagar. This is not Sari Menu out of the anger of her heart just staying there and like, get rid of Hagar. Remember, Avraham Avinu was told, whatever Sarah tells you, Shema B'Kola, listen to her. She's a Nevi'ah. Everything she says is 100% coming from God. So Avraham Avinu was worried. Why did Yishmael have to leave? Why did Hagar have to leave? Because there were a bad influence on my son Yitzchak. So we waited until Yitzchak was married off. And after Yitzchak was married off and he was gone, and no longer would Hagar or Yishmael be in effect on Yitzchak. Yitzchak is now the Iker of the house. Yitzchak is now inheriting everything that I have. Now that was true, now I can come back to Keturah. Now I have the ability to go back to this lady because it's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect my child anymore. The Nebuah is over, in other words. Yes.
Do we see anywhere that Yishmael came back with Hagar?
Yes. First of all, from the Akedah, we know from the Akedah. We know that he was one of the two that armed by the Akedah. We do know that at the end of his life, he buried Avraham Avinu, so we know that as well. But there is a medrash with Patima and I forgot what the other woman's name is. How Yishmael's wives ended up causing Avraham Avinu to tell him to divorce one wife and take back another wife. There is a medrash that Yishmael was brought back. That's the famous one regarding that. At the end, by the way, that's the Targum Yushalmi. Yushalmi says the Hava Asirale. She was usher to him. Now everybody translates that as she was tied to him, because asir in Aramaic means to be tied. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, no, she was usher to him. She was usher to him because there was a nebuah that said you can't be married to Hagar. So he knew until that point she was usher. Now she might be mutter. Now it's possible that they're going to be mutter. That's the idea behind it. Okay, we're getting to Zilberstein. Says over a lesson over here. Tremendous lesson. Alain Lushevach says the following. He says, Hagar was married to Avraham Avinu twice. The first time, she gave birth to Hagar, not to herself. She gave birth to Yishmael. And Yishmael, though he was a bad dude in the beginning, we know that at the end, did tshuva, right, and came back to Avraham Avinu. So Hagar was a bad person. Hagar had a child who was a bad person who did tshuva. As Keturah, she had six children, and all six of those kids were basically empty waste of space. They were worthless, and those children didn't mean anything to anyone. The wording of the Imre Sefer is that their lives were nothing. They were lowly human beings who are not worth talking about. That's what the Imre Sefer says. You just know. Victor Miller and Rav Hirsch both say that these people were very, very special people since their names were written in the Torah. So it must be they were holy people in their own right. They both say that. But the Imre Sefer says that they're nothing. Cesar Jesus Oberstein, according to that Imre Sefer, that means that Hagar, when she was a slave, gave birth to a person who ended up becoming a tzaddik, who were even people named their kids after. Rabbi Yishmael from the Gemara. Yishmael ben Elisha was a Kohen Gadol. The word Yishmael is used, although we don't use it nowadays, right, because there's a connotation that goes with it, but Yishmael was a holy name that was used in the times of the Tanayim. In the times of the Tanayim, that name was used. But the six kids afterward, we never hear from them ever again. They're not around. That shows us, says Rabbi Yitzchak, Yisurin have the ability to make you and your children great. When you're a slave, you end up having great children. When you're a free woman, and you're free to do whatever you want, and you're the full life of Avraham Avinu, look at what your kids are like. She was great when she was under the hands of Sarah and getting punished from Sarah Avinu. She was not great when she was somebody who was on her own, taking care of herself, thinking that things were good on her own. The truth is, and that's the pshat behind learning Torah, where Yitzchak Oberstein says that a person who is acquiring Torah, if it's easy, it's never being acquired. It's going in and going out. When a person works hard and puts himself into it and really like tries hard, that's when it goes in the head and it's able to stay in. There's no way for it to work otherwise. There's no way for it to happen in any other way. Hagar is our example of this. What happened to her is she was a slave. What happened to her when she was a free woman? Now that's all Lefi Rashi. That's all Rashi's shot that Hagar is Keturah, they're the same person, etc. Let's go the other way around. The Rashbam and the Chizkuni say simply, Lefi Apshat Ein Zu Hagar. According to Pshat, this is not Hagar. This is a completely different person. This is not the same person that it once was. The Ibn Ezra, this is the pshat. It's not Hagar, it's Keturah. The Ibn Ezra says the exact same thing. He says, since later on the pasuk says that there were pilakshim, pilakshim are concubines. Since there were concubines mentioned later on, it seems clear there were two concubines, Hagar and Keturah. Now one, it's not Sarah and Hagar slash Keturah, because then it wouldn't be pilakshim. There would be no plural pilakshim. It would be one pilagesh. It must be, since it says the word pilakshim in plural, it's got to be there's two, and Hagar and Keturah are not the same person. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns it. That's the idea behind it. So the Midrash Rabbah brings this up. The Midrash brings that question up and says, what about pilakshim? The Midrash answers, pilakshim is written without the yud. It's pilakshim, and it's for a drusha of Pelag Shem to tell you how Pelagish works, and that's it. Pelag Shem. So it's not literally Pelag Shem, even though we spell it that way. We read it as Pelag Shem. It's not literally more than one Pelagish. That's the idea, according to Rashi.
You could also limit out that the same Rashi used that Yishmael still has not as bad as the other six children from Keturah.
Well, let's hold up with that. Let's hold up with that. We're going to have a problem with this. We're going to see that. But either way, the problem with this guy is, what do you do with the word Vayosef? We just said before that Vayosef meant he went again and married the same woman. What does Vayosef mean according to them? So the Berabas thought it means, it could be that Vayosef means he took the Dibur of Hashem and he did what God told him to do again. God told him to marry Keturah, so he married Keturah the same way God told him to marry Hagar, so he married Hagar. That's one way of looking at it. The Chassam Sofer says that he was really originally only going to make her a concubine. And then he decided by Yikach, I'm going to make her a wife. So he, by Yosef, he added on to it and said, you know what, you're just not going to be a Pelagish, you're going to be a wife. You're going to be a full wife. And that's the word by Yosef and the word Balokach that he used over here. The Igret Akala said, since he already accomplished the mitzvah Puravu, either because he had a daughter according to that Medrash in Bava Basra, or because Hashem told him, B'Yitzchok, Yikari Lepazorah, all your children are going to happen through Yitzchok, so you didn't have to have any other kids. The fact that he was willing to add on to that mitzvah means by Yosef. He wanted to add to it, similar to how he started off, that you add on to your mitzvahs and make yourself even greater as time goes on. But the Radak says a little bit more than that. We're dealing with three wives right now. Says the Radak, he wanted a woman to help him in his old age. This third wife, he didn't care where she was coming from. He didn't care about her yichus. He didn't care if she was a Kanani, so to speak. He didn't really care about anything. He didn't care about that. He just wanted a woman who was going to be in the house, who would be able to take care of him as he got older. It ended up being he was able to have children with her, which he wasn't expecting. He's 140. He wasn't expecting to have kids. What he did expect is for this person to work hard, not be an Obed Avodah Zarah, which she wasn't, and that preferably she shouldn't be a Kenani because that's what he promised his kids. But in a sense, he didn't care. That didn't matter to him. That's why the Radak says, we're mentioning over here, he took a wife at the end of his life. The wife was just a woman who was going to take care of him. He didn't. We don't mention a Yichus. We don't mention where she's from because it doesn't matter. Avram just needed somebody to take care of him. That's all it was. But the Zohar says that Avram really had four wives. Four wives altogether. Sarah, Hagar, Keturah, and Keturah and the other wife. He had Pilag Shim. Two concubines, aside from Hagar and Sarah. That's how the Zohar says it. And therefore, there are four people that are over there. Where was Keturah, according to these Midrashim? Torah Shlema says, so in other words, where was she from? So the Torah Shlema says, she was one of his servant's daughters. That's what the Torah Shlema says. One of his servants had a daughter, and he married one of his servant's daughters. Now that makes sense. It would be like Eliezer's daughter, right? Eliezer's daughter, that's who he ended up marrying, and he ended up, that became his wife. But we don't know anything about that fourth wife, her name, or anything like that. All we know is that he had four wives, not three. The Shach says a crazy medrash. This medrash is mentioned in three different places, but the Shach quotes it and he says the following. He married three women from three separate nations. So he married Sarah from Shem. He married Hagar from Chum. We all know that, right? Because Mitzrayim is from Chum. So Hagar was from Chum. Not like nowadays where Mitzrayim is clearly Arabic. Back then, Chum was the nation of where Mitzrayim is coming from. Okay? And then he married Keturah from Yefes. I don't know where this medrash comes from. I don't know where the Raya is, but he says Keturah came from Yefes. He had three different backgrounds, and his point was to send children out everywhere to spread monotheism throughout the world. His children from Chum would spread it through Chum. His children from Yefes would spread it through Yefes. His children from Shem would spread it through Shem. That the point was to spread it throughout the world and allow that monotheistic religion to be gone everywhere. What's up, Rob?
This doesn't make any sense. We go through the entire story of Eliezer.
Yeah.
He was the Eved of Avraham because even the Eved of Avraham is so great that he gets the whole story said over twice in the Zohar.
Yeah.
Why, if you had a wife of Sarah, a wife of Avraham, you know nothing about her, but she was a wife, if the Eved gets that much supposed to be in the Parsha, why would the wife not have that?
It's a great question, but you have to understand stylistically, we know nothing about any of the women in Tanakh. In fact, you know that the only woman that we know her age when she died, officially, of what it says, is Sarah Imenu. It's the only woman in all Tanakh that we know her age when she dies. Women are tsanua, and they're in the tent. Hinei ba'ohel, that line that Avram Avinu used, hinei ba'ohel, she's in the tent, is a line that's used by all women, that they have a tsanua dika fashion in which we don't know much about them. And the little bit that we have... Okay, granted, it's a little bit of a cop-out, but regardless, it happens to be true that that's the idea what you have by all women. We don't know anything. We literally know nothing about them. The most, think about just the famous woman that we know about, Esther. Esther, how old was she? Where was she from? We know she was the daughter of the uncle of Mordecai. We know so little.
Out of the tent, still know who she is.
Tiny bit. The pasuk doesn't say she came from Mitzrayim. We have to learn that from the Midrashim. Pasuk doesn't say anything about how these certain people came into being. These are things that we have to learn from Midrashim. We just don't go. We don't know these things. That's why, by any woman, I have to answer that way because we're just not given information. That's the problem. You're not given any information. Let's go another way. We said all that. I'm not going to go into the whole Mitzri thing. There's a whole kasha that all the Rishonim ask, the Paneach Raza, the Tur, the Das, the Canaan. They all go into how you can marry a Mitzri, an Egyptian, if you're not supposed to marry Egyptians. I think it's a moot point because it just doesn't make any sense. The issue of marrying Egyptians happened after we left Egypt. It's such a strange line that the Rishonim even ask it. All the Rishonim ask it. I'm just not so sure why they ask it. It's a strange question to me. But I'm going to go with the last medrash. This medrash is a crazy medrash. Zvachim Samach Beis. Okay? Already? Zvachim Samach Beis. Rabbi Tarfon is learning with his Talmidim. And he saw that his Talmidim weren't really paying attention as much as they should be. Okay? So Rabbi Tarfon said to his Talmidim, Avram married a woman named Yochanai. Avram married a woman named Yochanai. They corrected him and said, Keturixiv. Oh, it's actually wrong in the sheet. I just realized I wrote it wrong. But Keturixiv. It doesn't say Yochanai. It says Keturah. The pasuk says Keturah. No. And he's like, oh, you're just a bunch of B'nai Keturah. That's amazing, right? That's the end of the medrash. What in the world is going on? What is Rabbi Tarfon doing? This is what it sounds like. It sounds like that Rabbi Tarfon was like falling asleep, and he's like, "Avram married Yochanai," and like Keturah, ah, B'nai Keturah. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a crazy old man that's saying something, and clearly that's not the Gemara. I'm sorry? Oh, very good. There is a pshat that says that. I'll go with that for right now. Of course, because Binyamin is Sfardi, he goes with the Ben Yishchai. The Ben Yoyada says that pshat. Avraham Avinu had four wives. Sarah, Hagar, Keturah, and Yochanai. And what Rabbi Tarfon wanted to do is he wanted to wake up his Talmidim who weren't there, similar to what Rabbi Akiva did, waking up his Talmidim. And he told them, and Avram had another wife, and her name was Yochanai. In which he expected everybody to say, whoa, Rabbi, how'd you know that? And instead they were like, Rabbi, you messed up on the pasuk, it's Keturah. And he's like, he was insulted. This is how the Ben Yishchai says it. He was insulted that they thought he was an idiot and forgot a pasuk. So he often looked at them and said, what, you think I'm a fool and I just don't know the pasuk? I'm trying to tell you a chiddush about who the fourth wife of Avraham Avinu is, and you're going on about, no, Rabbi, you got the pasuk wrong. No, I meant at all. So he looked at them and said, you guys have about the same mind as the Bnei Keturah do. You guys are not worth me talking to. You're just basically like Bnei Keturah. That's how the Ben Yishchai puts it, and he was making fun of them by saying that. So of course, I'll go Sfardi connection. That's okay, I'll go with that. The Torah Shlema says the simple explanation is that he wanted to open them up in learning. They were quiet. They weren't talking. So he wanted them to talk. All right, guys. He had a daughter named Yochanai, and the Talmidim started talking. And they're like, wait, wasn't it Keturah? And then they were silent. And Rabbi Tarfon's like, guys, I'm trying to get you to talk. So he sits there, and instead of going and not speaking, so he said to them, all right, you guys are just like Bnei Keturah. You're not willing to talk. You're not willing to say anything in learning. What are you guys doing? What are you doing here? You're not Bnei Yisrael, you're Bnei Keturah. That's the line that's used according to the Torah Shlema. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that Rabbi Tarfon was using a random name, just a random name to show that Keturah was not Hagar. Okay? It's not Hagar. So, who was it? Shema Yochanai. I don't know. It's not Hagar. It's Yochanai. Her real name was not Keturah. Her real name was Yochanai. But it's not Hagar. That was the point. He was trying to say that. And the students pointed out, this is how the Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, students pointed out and said, but Keturah sounds like Keturah, Rebbe. It sounds like she's a good person. It sounds like she had to be Hagar. Right? And that's that. And he's like, well, listen, if you guys really want to be among the Bnei Keturah, look at the Bnei Keturah. Do you see a Shmuel listed there? And that's why I was saying that before. Do you see a Shmuel listed among the Bnei Keturah? The Shmuel's not there. Why isn't he listed among the Bnei Keturah? Because Keturah isn't really Hagar. If Keturah was Hagar, then when going through Keturah's children, you'd have to add on Yishmael, and you didn't. So look at the Bnei Keturah, said Rabbi Tarfon, you'll see she's not Hagar. That's the idea behind it. The Maskala does it, brings down. This is like one of those things that you sort of like know because you're a Midrashim, like if you know Midrashim, it's sort of there. There were two sons of Bilam who were magicians, heads of the Erev Rav and Mitzrayim. You know what their names were? It's okay if you don't. One of the names that's used in the Midrashim is Yonus and Yambrus. That's one of the names that's used. The other Midrashim call them Yochanai and Mamre. Yochanai was the name of a top magician in Egypt. He was a magician, a person that did all these magics, a son of Bilam, but I guess that name was like a well-known name. It's sort of like Paro. Yochanai was the name that they used in order to show that there's magics. What he was trying to say was Keturah went after Yochanai, meaning Hagar went after the Avodah Zarah of her father's house. She went back. Remember how we said that before? That she went back, Batelach Batesa, she went off? She was Yochanai. She was just like Yochanai, the bad guy. And so to anybody, they were all like that. And he said, she was a bad person. To which they said, come on, she wouldn't be named Keturah after the Ketores if she was a bad woman. She must be a good woman. There's no way. He said, no. The pshat is Bnei Keturah. Keturah means she was tied up. She went after Avodah Zarah, but she didn't go after Arias. She tied herself up and she wouldn't be together with other men. So therefore, her name was Yochanai, that she was a magician. She went after magic, she went after Avodah Zarah. But she was Keturah, she stayed away from other people. And he said to them, your heads are all tied up, says the Maskal of David, and you can't think straight, and that's why you're thinking that way. He called them Bnei Keturah. People that think like Keturah, you guys aren't able to say it in the proper way, and that's the idea behind it. Now, the Chaim Menhagim has an answer that's similar to it, but we're going to end with something that's a little bit different. I think we'll end with this. I already said the Ben Yoyad over here. The Belzer Rebbe points out, you have to know literally all of Tanakh Baal Peh for this. Okay, I don't know. I'm just telling you what the Belzer Rebbe says. There are two places in Tanakh where it says a man married a woman, and then it says Ushma blank. me over here. Vayikach isha ushma ketura. That's not normal. It should be vayikach sorrow. Vayikach elisheva. Vayikach machlas. Every time it says the woman, it doesn't say a woman whose name was blank. That it doesn't do, except for one other place in all Tanakh. Tamar, who married Yehuda. Two places. It says it by Tamar, and it says it by Keturah. He took a woman, and her name was Tamar, and he took Keturah. But that was her name. We don't know any other name. Bathshua was her name. We don't know any other name. So, meaning...
No.
It says Ushma Tamar, right. It says... I forgot what the word is.
Yehuda took a woman, and her name is Bathshua.
Yeah, correct, correct. He married her to Aaron Onan, whatever it is. But the wording is Ushma Tamar. Now, this, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. The Belzer Rebbe then goes into Kabbalah. A massive amount of Kabbalah. I'm going to tell you just what I can understand, like the Rashi Devarim here. Keturah is half in gematria of Tamar. Tamar is 640. Tuf, Resh, and Mem is 640 to 400, 240. Okay? Keturah is altogether 640 divided by 2 is 320. Keturah is altogether 320. He says that Tamar was either a tikkun through a gilgal or some way of fixing up the problems that Keturah had. I have ideas on why that might be so, but it's kind of hard to darshan in gilgulim. So I'm not going to do anything more than what the Belzer Rebbe says. He just said simply, Keturah is 320 and she was bad. Tamar was 640 and she improved on everything that Keturah is all about, and thus they're connected, that she was an Isha who turned themselves into something different. They made themselves great. The idea that he said was that Yochanai is the gematria of 86, which is Midas Adin Elokim. 86 is the gematria of Elokim. What he was saying is that Keturah had this Midas Adin, this evil that was upon her that she couldn't get rid of. Keturah's real name was Yochanai. She had this Midas Adin that she couldn't get rid of. And in her state, she couldn't do it. And even as Keturah, that's why her kids were so bad. That was Rabbi Tarfon's drasha. Her real name was Yochanai. She was involved with Midas Adin, and bad things happened because she wasn't ready for all this stuff. And they said she was Keturah. Nope, and ain't Keturah. And that's the pshat. That in the end, she became Tamar, and she was improved by becoming this Tamar. I don't have a full answer as to what that means. I'm telling you that there's some connection between the two, which is a crazy idea. But anyway, what do we do today? We said, the first thing that we did was, we said why this is in here in the first place, the point of by Yosef, what he's trying to do. We explained Rashi's pshat. We then said why she was called Keturah. We gave a bunch of different reasons for that. We went to Aleinu L'Shabbach, the lesson to learn from Keturah. We gave the pshat answer that Keturah is a different person altogether. Avraminu had three wives. Avraminu possibly had four wives, according to the Zohar. We said over the other thing about the mitzvah we skipped, and then we said this Zvachim Salach Beis, this idea behind Yochanai and Keturah, if Yochanai is the name of a fourth wife, if Keturah really is Yochanai, meaning something evil, or if Keturah is Yochanai becoming Midas Adin, whatever it is, those are the four things that we went to tonight. All right, guys, have a